Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 173 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist, Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, it's been a busy day at the boys Class 4A State basketball tournament. In a little while, we're going to be visiting with Ames coach Vance Downs over the phone to break down his team's win over Burlington. And later on, Ankeny coach Brant Carlson will be coming in to talk about his team's two-point loss to Johnston in the last of the quarterfinal games. But right now, I'm going to talk about all of the games today with Ankeny Centennial coach Bob Fontana, who is down there for all four games today. Bob, how you doing?
Good, Dan. How you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing good. It's been a long day for both of us, but saw a lot of good games. Let's just dive right into it. I guess when you look at the seedings, there was only one upset, and that was number 7 Prairie beating number 2 Cedar Falls. And we'll talk more about that game later on. But just briefly, when you look at how those two teams played during the year, I mean, it really wasn't much of an upset, was it?
No, they split during the season. I believe that Prairie got them the first time, and then Cedar Falls got them later in the year. So, and they know each other very, very well, obviously. So.
Sure. Well, let's just start with the first game, and we'll go from there. In the opening game, we had the fourth seed Cedar Rapids Kennedy playing on number 5 Waukee Northwest. Of course, Kennedy's your old school, Bob, and they ended up winning that game by about 6 or 8 points, I believe. Great game, back and forth. What was your impressions of that game?
Well, I thought both teams played very, very well the first half, and then. I thought there was like a 3 to 4 minute stretch there in the second half where Kennedy outscored him. I think it was 9-2 or something. And that was, obviously had a huge impact on the outcome of the game. And I thought Kennedy, they play 8 guys. Northwest plays basically 6. And it looked like Kennedy was just trying to wear him down a little bit. And then Kennedy's 2 guards, I thought, were the difference in the game. They were very, very good on both ends of the floor, and I think they end up, between the two, I think they end up having 46 or 48 points.
48, I think, yeah, 26 and 22. Yeah, I'd heard a lot about Kenzie Reed, but boy, he really came through today. I mean, the way he played, I mean, you could tell he just kind of felt like he was the best player on the court.
Yeah, and I've known him since he was a very young kid. I coached his dad at Kennedy, and obviously his dad was on our staff here
right
at Centennial before he moved back to Cedar Rapids. But, he's a solid player. He played the whole game, and he not only scored the ball well for them today, but just his value in managing a game. And you watch him defend, especially on ball defense. He's really, really good.
Well, I thought Price Sanford might be the difference in the game, like he has a lot of times. He's just such a tough matchup. And I heard later that he has been sick the last few days, so that was obviously a factor. And he took a hard fall in the game that might have slowed him down as well. But I thought Kennedy did a great job of making him give the ball up. They ran a second defender at him a lot of times.
Yeah, ran a second defender on him. And then also Kennedy was switching everything a lot too. And so if Kennedy, when they switched, if they had a guy on him that maybe wasn't one of their top defenders, then they did bring a second guy at him. And they made him take some very tough shots today.
All right. Then in the second game today, we had the top seed Ames against the number 8 seed Burlington. And for a while, I mean, Burlington was a pesky team. They were giving Ames all they could handle for a while, weren't they?
Yeah, they came out, they came out with a lot of juice on energy. And I'm sure they were, they came in very confident, and they had nothing to lose. I mean, they beat Iowa City West and Pleasant Valley to get here. But Ames was just Ames, They're like, okay, yeah, we know this is a 32-minute game. We're not going to get out of what we do. And then, it goes from being a 6-8-point game, and next thing you know, they're down by 20.
Well, there's been a lot of talk about, Taman Lipsey and how injured he is. And he got off to a slow start today. He had a couple of drives to the hoop that didn't go down for him. And then he threw the ball out of bounds one time, which he just never does. So in that first quarter, I thought, boy, he sure doesn't look like himself. But then he came out in that second quarter. I think he scored 8 straight points. And from then on, I mean, he kind of looked like his old self, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And again, a credit to him and the other kids on their team that have played together for like 2-3 years, they just stay on an even keel, No moment's too big for them. They make a mistake, they move on. They make a great play, they move on. And that's a credit to them.
what kind of felt going into the tournament that if Lipsy was close to 100%, you know, I think they're going to win it all. That they have such good pieces around him. And today they had some other kids like Jack Winter stepped up with those 4 3-pointers, I think. I mean, when you get that kind of production from the other guys, I mean, that just makes them that much tougher, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does. And that's what we were talking about. Some other coaches said, you know, here's a kid that's a sophomore and he's a role player and took on a bigger role when Lipsy was out there for a handful of games. But, you know, you never know how kids are going to react at a state tournament time. And for a kid like that to come off the bench and hit those threes, he looked very comfortable doing it.
Sure did. Well, then in the third game today, we had Cedar Rapids Prairie and Cedar Falls. We did touch on that briefly earlier. They did have the two close meetings earlier when Cedar Falls won. It was just a one-point game when they won. You know, I thought maybe Trey Campbell might be the difference today, and he did have 32 points. And I didn't see that whole game, so I'm not sure how Prairie tried to defend him. But do you think they kind of just let him get what he wanted to get and kind of shut down the other guys?
Well, maybe to an extent. I tell you what, that kid made some big shots. I mean, step-up threes, you know, shot fake. Everything he did looked flawless and at times looked effortless. But I thought, you know, that Cedar Falls was probably expecting to get a little bit more out of their two big guys, which are they're not true post players. Yeah, they're 6'9", but they look like they're more like stretch four type players. And I think that they probably were expecting more. I don't even know if the one scored or if he did, maybe scored too late. But I thought Prairie did a solid job, you know, on both ends of the floor, and they stayed within themselves. And again, a game like that, sort of like the Kennedy Northwest game, it came down to just you could point at 3 or 4 possessions in the second half, which ended up deciding the game.
Prairie's a really scrappy team. You know, they don't really do anything flashy, but they're just real solid, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They are real solid. And then you got the big kid inside who's 6'7", about 240, and he's going to Iowa State. He plays tight end in football. And so, you know, and he doesn't maybe score a lot for him, but, you know, he's got that inside presence defensively and rebounding, sets ball screens. And, you know, a guy like that, and you put him with 2 or 3 scrappy guards, a couple of them can shoot it, one of them handles it real well. You know, that's a good combination to have.
All right, well, let's talk about the last game now. We'll spend more time on this game since it involved Ankeny. Ankeny lost a heartbreaker to Johnston, 55-53. And I don't know what you thought about going into the game. I kind of felt like the game was a coin flip. You know, these two teams could probably play 10 times, and it might be 5-5. And it kind of showed that way the game went, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. You know, there was probably about 10 to 12 coaches there that I was visiting with today, and they said, who are you picking here? And I said, you know what? I think go either way. I said, but if you somebody had maybe just an edge, it might be, and I said might be Johnston, just because they were there last year, and Mason Ryan, Trey Lewis, and Kramer, you know, they all played last year, and two of them played big roles, and so I thought maybe, you know, that would give them a little bit of an edge, but yeah, it was seesaw back and forth, and I thought Ankeny had a couple big performances out of two of their guards. One of them was Ward.
Right.
He hit 2 threes, and then he had a steal in the bucket. And Carson Johnson, I think he picked Lewis 3 times.
Right.
And that was pretty impressive.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Yeah, I kind of felt like going in that maybe, you know, Kramer and Lewis would be the two best players on the court. They weren't necessarily the case, but, you know, maybe they were the two best players on the court, but maybe Ankeny's depth might be a factor too, because they're, you know, they're just so strong inside and have so many players that they can go to that maybe they could wear Johnston down. But, you know, Johnston's got a lot of size too. I mean, Ankeny had trouble scoring at the rim, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I think that one kid for them, number 40, Tornabane,
mm-hmm.
I think he might have had 6-8 blocks or shots that he adjusted.
Right.
And, you know, people were asking me, hey, did that kid play against you? But we played him 4th game season. I think he played about 3 or 4 minutes against us was all.
Yeah, I certainly don't remember him from that game. But, yeah, I'm sure, you know, if you had asked Coach Carlson before the game that if, you know, if he knew that they were going to hold Johnston to 55 points, he probably would have liked their chances to win because, you know, the Dragons only shot 35% from the field. But the big difference was that they got to the free throw line in the fourth quarter. They went 13 of 15 at the line in the fourth quarter and 20 of 22 overall, whereas Ankeny was just 2 of 5.
Yeah. Oh, that's a huge difference. And we were talking about that when we were watching the game. And, you know, in the second half, there were times Johnston's offense looked very stagnant. Wasn't a lot of movement without the ball or anything. And I made the comment, I said, as soon as they got in the bonus early, I said, if I was them, I'd attack the rim and see if you can get to the line. And then when they especially got in the double bonus, and that's what they ended up doing, obviously.
Well, yeah, Lewis and Kramer were just 9 of 28 from the field. They each had 5 turnovers. So, I mean, they certainly didn't have, you know, a great game in that sense, but the two of them went 17 of 18 at the line. So, yeah, they certainly did attack the rim, and, you know, and they got the calls.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that happened to us 2 years ago in the semifinal with Waukee. I think we got outscored 19-8 from the free throw line, and we lost by 6, you know. So, yeah, that's obviously a big part of what you got to deal with down there. And I thought the officiating, though, in the Ankeny Johnson game was very, very good. That's a great crew. They do college. They do our league. Sometimes in the state tournament and before state tournament, you might get officials that don't work a lot of 4A basketball, and they get assigned to your games, and you don't know how the game's going to be called.
Right. And I know one of those officials is from Ankeny. That's not something that they look at when they assign officials to the games?
Well, one of them works in the school district, and another one lives in Ankeny. And so, yeah, when they came out, I was like, oh, that is interesting.
Yeah. Well, the foul disparity certainly went the other way because, like I said, Johnston, you know, certainly had more free throws than Ankeny did. The Hawks did make 7 of 17 three-pointers today, and that certainly kept them in the game. But, you know, they couldn't overcome that free throw disparity. And then they also got beat on the boards pretty bad. It was 39-27. Kramer had 10 boards for the Dragons. And that's probably the worst that Ankeny's been out rebounded all year, I would think.
Well, they have been a good rebounding team all year. John, again, that the one kid that was sort of the unknown that came off the bench, I'm watching a game from a coach's point. I'm not keeping stats, but somebody said he was close to a triple double with points, rebounds, and blocked shots.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up. I know he did. I think he finished with 10 points, and we'll have to check on the blocks and the rebounds. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. So, well, we're going to preview the semifinal games here in a little bit, but we're going to try to connect with the Ames coach, Vance Downs, first to get his thoughts on today's games and also, you know, what he thinks about tomorrow's matchup. So we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back with Coach Downs. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office. Call 515-964-5952 or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the top-ranked Ames boys basketball team. He is Vance Downs. Vance, congratulations on the win today. How you doing? For sure. Well, yeah, I've got Coach Fontana here. You guys have been through a lot of wars together. Bob gave us his impressions of the game earlier. It was an impressive win for you guys. You guys ended up winning by 20, but it certainly wasn't easy, was it?
No. Unfortunately, we got off to a rough start. I did not anticipate that, but, the kids continued to play hard, and we had some timely buckets, and Taman certainly had his moments, and we were fortunate to get some buckets in transition. Travy and Corey got going a little bit in the second half, and thank goodness Jack Winter hit some big shots.
Well, yeah, Jack certainly did, hitting 4 3-pointers, I think. That always helps, doesn't it?
That makes it a lot easier on the bench, doesn't it?
Well, you mentioned Taman getting going. Of course, he was injured late in the season, and then he came back for the tournament. In that first quarter, he didn't look very good, I thought. But, boy, in the second quarter and on, I thought he looked like his old self.
Yeah, I think he's just getting comfortable. You know, he's not 100% healthy. This will nag him a little bit to the conclusion of the season. Until he can really rest it and heal 100%. Taman with a nagging injury is pretty darn good.
Yeah, I tweeted out at one point today that, he might not be 100%, but he was still the best player on the court.
Yeah, he's certainly a special kid. And we're obviously really fortunate to have him. And any team or any coach that has a player like that, you're really fortunate, and you obviously have some good things going. And, the neat thing is he's not only super talented, but he's a really special kid. And, I can't say enough positives about him.
Well, yeah, Vance, I told Dan earlier, I said, Burlington got out to that good start, and you know they obviously they had some big wins coming in, and they probably had a lot of confidence. But I said, Ames is just Ames. You know, you guys do a great job of staying the course. Your kids are on an even keel, and I said, then your sophomore winner, he looked very comfortable knocking down those threes, and so I said, you know, next thing you're it's a 6-8 point game, and the next thing you know, it's a 20 point game. And that's a credit to you and your kids, how they just go about their business.
Well, they're mostly seniors, so that certainly helps. So there's some positive leadership there, and they did stay the course, and some good things happened, and it's kind of snowballed a little bit. And we have enough athleticism once we get in the open floor and things start going our way, those kids certainly take advantage of their opportunities.
Well, you guys were able to stretch the lead out there at the end, so you were able to get, Taman and the rest of the starters, off the court. And in an ideal world, when you got to play three games in 3 days, it's such a grind. I mean, you probably were hoping to get a big enough lead to get those kids off the court.
Well, you always hope that would happen. But, after those three possessions and three turnovers, I thought this is going to be a grind for 32 minutes. But it is nice to get them a break. But, I don't want to take anything away from Burlington. Burlington's a really good team that had some big wins and did some really special things this year. And we were really impressed. We just happened to put together some runs that stretched that lead.
Well, of course, you guys were busy preparing for Burlington, so I don't know how much of that first game you saw between Waukee Northwest and Cedar Rapids Kennedy. You know how good Northwest is. You had two great games with them this year. I mean, did the outcome of that game surprise you at all?
No, not really. To me, it was a coin toss. I don't know what Bob thought. But I tried to watch a little bit. But Fontana's probably a lot calmer than I am. I watch those preliminary games. I get nervous, so I get to hide in the locker room.
I thought, Vance, I thought that game, the first half, both teams did some really, really good things. And I just thought Kennedy, they had that 3 to 4 minutes where they outscored Northwest by, I think, I don't know, 9-2 or something like that. But then I thought they did a great job defending Sanford. And then I thought Kennedy's two guards were the big difference in the game. But I thought it was a very well-played game overall.
Well, Kennedy's always going to be really tough and well-coached and do what they do. You saw more than me, but it did seem like Reed and Dolphin really took over when the time was there. Our hands are going to be full tomorrow. We're going to play really well.
Well, I know you played Kennedy earlier in the season. I think you beat him by about 16 or 18 points. That was so long ago, though. I mean, can you take much away from that game?
I don't know. As a matter of fact, I was just watching that game when you guys called. I don't know. We can take away how they guarded certain guys and what they're trying to take away from them. But it's another game that just we happen to hit some timely perimeter shots, and then it stretched, and then we happen to get out in transition. And it probably, blew up a little bigger than it really was. So I guess the short answer to it, we're not going to take a whole lot at all. I think it's going to be a tight game. And like I said earlier, I think we're going to have to play awfully well to come out with a W.
Of course, if you guys win that one, you would advance to the championship game where you would get either Johnston or Cedar Rapids Prairie. I know you're not looking beyond tomorrow, but since you have played Johnston before, would that make the preparation easier for you guys if you do face Johnston in the final?
Dude, you got to be – no way am I commenting on that. That's bad karma.
that's what we're a lot alike right there, Vance. I agree with you 100%.
we'd certainly be in favor of an easier prep, but right now it's just Kennedy. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I totally get that. Well, hey, I don't want to keep it too long. I did want to ask you one other question, though. I know I've heard some people this year, when you guys were really rolling, some people compared this year's team to those great Ames teams you had back in 2009 and 10 with Doug McDermott and Harrison Barnes. And I don't know if it's fair to compare any team to those teams because they were so good. But obviously this team has a lot of talent. I mean, just for this team to even be mentioned in the same breath with those guys, I mean, that's quite a statement, isn't it?
Well, I think, that's very complimentary on some people's
All right, Coach. Well, hey, sounds like your voice is struggling a little bit. We're going to let you go and rest your voice a little bit. But, hey, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
All right,
hey, good luck, Vance. Good luck tomorrow.
All right, take care, Bob.
All right, take care.
All right. Well, yeah, I want to thank Vance Downs again for joining us. That was a fun conversation. Bob and I are now going to break down the semifinal games a little bit before he has to head out to go to another appointment. So on tomorrow, we'll have the two semifinal games. We'll have Ames going up against Cedar Rapids Kennedy in the first game. How do you see that one, Bob?
Well, Dan, that's going to be a very interesting game. I know they played early in the year, like third game of the season. And again, Ames is Ames. They're going to do what they do and play one possession at a time. And you have to be disciplined enough to understand that you have to do the same thing, because if they make like a 4-6-0 run on you, you can't come down and start jacking shots up. You still got to do what you need to do. And the way Kennedy's guards played today, you know, I think if they could, I mean, not necessarily duplicate their point production, but just manage the game, that's going to be huge, because they have to match what Lipsy does for Ames. And then I think some things to look for in that game is, who are they going to put on Kenzie Reed? Are they going to put Lipsy on him? Or are they, like they did when they played early in the year, or are they going to put Luth, who's 6'7 and can guard guards, they're going to put that length on him and then have Lipsy maybe guard Dolphin or put Lipsy in a position where he's looking to help a lot. So it'll be interesting to see how Ames goes about defending them. And then on the flip side, what's Kennedy going to do defensively? Because they switch a lot. And, you know, Waukee Northwest doesn't have what I'd call a true post player,
mm-hmm.
where Ames will take Phillips down and post him up, and then LeBeau will go in there and try to get a mismatch post up. Well, I know Kennedy starts the two guys who are 6'7", 6'5", but they take that one out and they come in with a kid that's 5'10", 6', whatever he is, and is Ames going to try to expose that? Because I know, like, when we played Ames up there and they beat us by 6 or 7, and we had at one time, we had 3 to 4 guards in the game. They went to an inside triangle, and they had Luth, LeBeau, and Phillips all trying to post up our guards. So I don't know if they'll try to do that to Kennedy tomorrow or not. So that it'll be interesting to see how that game plays out. I think Kennedy would want to try to maybe get that tempo going up and down a little bit in their favor, where Ames might want to try to get it in a half-court game,
mm-hmm.
especially if Lipsy's not 100%.
Right. Yeah, you talk about Ames' defense. I mean, they just put the clamps on you. They just don't give up much of anything, do they?
No. And here's the thing, you can't try to drive the ball into tight spaces against them, especially at the elbows, because they got somebody there. And even if they got a guy that's a step or two out of position, they make up for it with their length. And you know, and to get kids to understand that, you know, and sometimes in practice that's tough to simulate. If you don't have guys that are, you know, like that, it's tough to simulate. So, so it'll be interesting to see how Kennedy goes about attacking their defense.
Well, yeah, and you mentioned, you know, whether Vance would put Lipsy on Reed or whether he'd go with Luth. I mean, it's two great options to have, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. You know, I know Vance talked to me about after we played Hoover and that stuff, and I just threw that idea out to him, and that's what they ended up doing with, you know, against Hoover. And, again, when you can put somebody that's smart, athletic, and has a high basketball IQ, like Lipsy, that's one way to defend him. But then you put the 6'7 guy on him with length, who also is athletic, and you give that guy two different looks, pretty soon you get that kid maybe to start thinking, and now he's not playing, he's thinking too much.
All right, and then the second semifinal, we'll have Johnson against Cedar Rapids Prairie. That'll be an interesting matchup as well. You know, Prairie's certainly not going to be afraid of anybody at this point, but how do you see that matchup?
Well, let's go back. They beat Johnston early in the year in a non-conference game at Prairie by 5 or 6 points. I think it was about, maybe 5th, 6th, 7th game season, somewhere in there.
That's right. I do remember that now.
Somewhere in there. It was before Christmas. So, again, as you said earlier, you know, Prairie's scrappy, and they got – looks like to me, watching them today, they got that junkyard dog mentality. And then you put that the big kid in there that's, you know, just takes up space in the lane, both offensively, defensively, 6'7", 240, D1 football kid. Will Johnson have somebody that, you know, get in there and play physical with him? So, and I think Johnson, after watching him today, I think they've got to get better movement offensively because, like I said, I thought they got pretty stagnant offensively in the second half.
They just did a lot of one-on-one stuff, didn't they?
Exactly. Yeah. And you start getting guys, and they're watching Kramer and Lewis, and instead of cutting and everything, they're standing watching. Well, that just makes it easier for the defense because they don't have to worry about guard movement off the ball. So that'll be something it'll be interesting to see tomorrow night how they handle that.
Well, I know Kramer told me afterwards that he just had the Charlie horse the day after he took that hard fall, or he got called for the charge, I guess, on that play. And if that's all it was, maybe he's going to be okay. But if it was more than that, if it's like a thigh bruise or something, I mean, who knows how it's going to feel tomorrow.
It happened so quick. But it looked like to me he got a knee in his low thigh right above his knee. And that's not comfortable. I've had that happen before. That's not comfortable.
Exactly. Well, I know Coach Downs didn't want to look ahead, but we can certainly do that. We're not going to have another podcast tomorrow night. So just looking ahead, I mean, how do you think it's going to turn out? I mean, do you think Ames and Johnson are going to meet in the final? I mean, I know it's not a given, but do you think there's a good chance that'll happen?
I think it's going to be Ames, and then I think the second game is going to be a coin flip. And I think people around the state would say, yeah, if it's Ames Johnson, that's what we expected. But if it's Ames Cedar Rapids Prairie, I think there's going to be a lot of people who'd be shocked by that. But watching the way Prairie played today, look at what Cedar Falls did. They got the guard that did it all, and then everybody else didn't do much. Well, today, Johnston, who else did stuff besides Kramer and Lewis?
Right.
So I think Johnson's got to have, like, Mason Ryan knock down some threes. Let me back up. That kid that came off the bench for Johnson, he did. I mean, if it wasn't for him, they'd be done.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Well, of course, last year, Johnston made all the way to the final, and, they had a 7-point halftime lead against Waukee. Yeah. So they're obviously, they want to get back there. And if they play Ames, I know they beat Ames when Lipsy was out. So they're somewhat familiar with them, but I think that would be a great matchup if we get it. But like you said, you don't know that it's a given that'll happen.
No, you don't. And I'm sure everybody around here wants to see an Ames Johnson final, just because they say a lot of people think our league is the deepest league in the state and has been for the last 3 or 4 years. So, it'll be interesting when you think about what game would be more entertaining to watch. I think Ames Prairie would be more of a slugfest half court game where Ames Johnston, and Johnston beat them by 13 the last game of the season, but Luth and Lipsy both did not play.
That's right, yep.
So you can throw that game out the window.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Bob, well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight and breaking down the games with me. Enjoyed it.
You bet. Take care, Dan.
Yep. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, my final guest tonight is the head coach of the Ankeny boys team, and we're going to break down his team's loss to Johnston today. I really appreciate him coming in tonight. Brant Carlson, how you doing?
Not too bad. Thank you.
Hey, you bet. Well, let's just kind of talk about the game. Let's just kind of go in chronological order. You guys came out. You certainly got off to a slow start. Johnston jumped out to an early 8-2 lead. Did you sense at all that maybe, the guys were a little tight?
We've only done it twice, I guess, but at the end of the day, I think every team gets a little bit that way, and just having some new guys down there, it was, just kind of a tough start. But at the same time, I just like, again, how we've always battled and figure out ways to stay in the game. And, Leo got us going a little bit. And I was just really, really proud of how hard they played in the first quarter just to kind of even things up and, felt really good going into the second.
Well, yeah, I was curious to see how you guys would defend them. Of course, Johnston has two stars and Stephen Kramer and Trey Lewis. You put Carson Weedy on Kramer to begin the game. You often put Weedy on the opposing team's top player, so that didn't surprise me. You started out the game with Leo on Trey Lewis. Did you just want to give him maybe a bigger defender to look at it to start?
I think so. Really, the whole focus for us was trying to take their shooters out, not let them have any threes. And Ruish and Ryan, and we did that. They didn't hit one. You know, the Tornabane got it going a couple times there. But we just felt really good about, you know, we figured Kramer and Lewis are going to score. We just wanted to make it as tough as we could. You know, what's amazing about what really happened is they got the majority of their points from the free throw line. You
right.
know, as far as field goals, we really held them in check. Kramer, I think, hit 1-3, and Lewis didn't have any. So, I mean, our guys just did a great job. You know, worked really hard. Our coaches prepared them well. And, man, I just, you know, the free throw battle is a tough one. That's something we've really dominated all year. And for whatever reason, we just couldn't get the, you know, get the opportunities. So.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about the free throw disparity here a little later on. Like you mentioned, you guys did come back from that slow start. You took the lead in the second quarter. You ended up having the lead at halftime, 24-23. Lewis didn't score his first basket until, you know, there was 5 minutes left in the first half. You know, at halftime, you had to feel pretty good being up one.
Really good. And I just thought the momentum was kind of in our hands. I really felt like we were the most physical team. I felt like we were really in control of what we wanted to do. And the third quarter kind of continued that trend for a little while, you know, for us into the fourth, too. So, you know, again, you're just very pleased with the overall effort. You know, it's really early, still fresh, I guess. But, you know, right now you just feel great about how hard they played, how they listened, how they really executed the game plan that we had for them. And it really, really is disappointing that the, you know, the final outcome wasn't indicative of how hard they played. You know, it's just one of those tough deals.
Right, right. Well, the start of the second half actually did not go well for you guys because Johnston came out and went on an 8-0 run. They went up 31-24. You called a timeout. You know, you guys didn't score for the first 4 minutes, 30 seconds of the third quarter.
Yeah.
But then coming out of the timeout, you must have designed a play for Carson because he hits that three off the inbounds play. And then he steals the ball from Lewis, goes in for, you know, a layup. And that sparked an 18-6 run to end the quarter. So then you guys went up 42-37. So, yeah, you guys scored 18 points in 3.5 minutes. I mean, that was the best you looked all day.
Yeah, it was really impressive, you know, and I forget a lot of the bad things that happened to us, and sometimes I focus on the good stuff. But, you know, early third was tough, and really it was the early third and ended up being the fourth. You know, we just really, you know, a lot of our, again, our I don't want to make any excuses because Johnson, you got to give them a lot of credit. I just felt like, you know, we were really driving hard to the basket. We had multiple guys getting knocked to the floor, and I just, you know, at the end of the day, you ask a lot of good questions, and you don't get a lot of good answers, and, you know, what do you do? I think our guys, again, did what they had to do or did what they were asked to do. And I think, you know, for us, we're very pleased with that. The ball didn't go in the basket the way we wanted to, but it was nice to have that lead going into the fourth. Felt really good about it. And, again, they didn't have a ton of field goals. You know, it became this free throw battle after a while.
Right. Yeah, Johnston opened the fourth quarter with 5 points all at the free throw line to tie it up. You got a basket from Leo to put you guys back ahead, and then Kramer stepped up with a big three-pointer. That put them ahead for good. And early in the second half, Kramer, you know, took that hard fall, and he told me later that he had like a Charlie horse that he kind of had to work out. And, you know, we'll see if he's in any pain tomorrow or not. But he certainly looked like he was hobbling a little bit. But,
yeah.
Boy, he came back in. I mean, good players make good plays, and he did.
Yeah, they're college players. I mean, he's going to Division I school, and Lewis is going to a Division II school. So, I mean, you expect those guys to make those plays and shot over 90% from the free throw line. And really, they rebounded very well. You know, that was one thing we probably really struggled with. I don't, you know, again, have to go back and look at it, but defensive rebounding for us just wasn't very clean. You know, we always train on and rebounding deeper rebounds at the elbows, and I felt like it was falling in between the elbows and the block, and it was just a gap that we were not able to get. And I think, again, our guys being in face guard mode on the shooters, we typically have 5 guys rebounding. Well, now we're at 3, and I just felt like Kramer's 3 was on a kick out after an offensive rebound, and that was just some things that hurt us. So, it's just, again, we led this state in rebounding. We're one of the top teams in rebounding and one of the top teams in free throw shooting. And, you know, we shoot 5 free throws, and we get out rebounded by 12. And, at the end of the day, the stats don't lie.
Yeah, that had to be the most you've been out rebounded all year, I would think.
Oh, no question about it. So, you know, again, hats off to them. I mean, that's a big, big-time effort by Johnston, and a lot of seniors, guys have been there before, and they played like it.
Well, yeah, you held Johnston to 35% shooting from the field. Lewis and Kramer were combined 9-28, and they each had 5 turnovers. So, I mean, going into the game, if you'd known those were going to be the stats, I mean, you probably would have thought you guys would win going away.
Absolutely, and that's the thing that's hard. Again, you talk with your coaches after, you know, again, the film will tell us the real truth. But you just felt like everything that you wanted to do was there, you know, and really was accomplished except the end result. You know, and I think, again, sports are cruel sometimes. You know, you just don't have an answer for some of that stuff right away. And we'll figure out more, and we'll keep growing and learning as a staff and as a team. And we'll get better from this experience.
Well, you guys didn't have a lot of success, you know, attacking the rim, but you did hit 7 of 17 three-pointers today, and that kept you in the game. Maddox Ward hit a big one there, you know, in the closing seconds to give you guys at least a prayer of a chance to maybe pull it out.
Right.
Was that the play set up coming out of that timeout, or did he just take what was there?
I think he took what was there. I mean, we were trying to, you know, run a couple things for either Carson or Carson to get a shot. But at the same time, I think we trust all of our guys. You know, at the end of the day, it's taking advantage of what the defense gives you, and I think they were really – sagging off certain guys, but certainly guarded our shooters well. And, Maddox made a couple of big plays on the offensive end and defensive end tonight.
Well, Maddox certainly had another good game. J.J. Cole led your team today with 14 points. Carson Johnson had 10, and he certainly outplayed Lewis at times. You know, those two guys will be back next year along with Leo Aguirre and Carson Weedy. I mean, I know you're still trying to soak in this loss, but, I mean, with those five guys coming back, I mean, you got to feel good about what you guys, you know, can do next year.
Of course. It's so interesting, you know, when you – it's right now fresh day of, and you know it's a long 6 to 9 months, you know, away. But at the same time, in a program like this where, you know, it's hard to come by wins, it makes you feel better that you have young guys that are very, very talented and very committed and just great young people to work with. So, yeah, we feel very fortunate.
Well, of course, you guys played the last game today, so I don't know if you got a chance. Did you get to watch any of those other games today?
Yeah, online we watched Northwest play. Didn't get watch Ames at all because we were in the traveling mode down to the state and watched Cedar Falls live, you know, and it's a very, very good tournament. You know, I think, you know, Ames is still the favorite. I've said it all year, you know, the way Johnson plays, the way they can stretch you out and just ISO you all night long. It'll be very interesting to see how the next rounds go. And again, playing three games in 3 days, as we've done before, it's tough. You got to have a deep bench, and Johnson does not. They played five guys basically the whole second half, and Ames is a little deeper. So it's just going to be fascinating. I think Cedar Rapids Prairie is very physical. And Cedar Rapids Kennedy played really, really, really well today.
I sure did.
It's a great tournament.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we broke the games down with Coach Fontana. And, you know, he mentioned how scrappy Prairie is. And he gives them, you know, a good chance to beat Johnson. I know they did earlier in the year. So.
Definitely. I don't think there's any question they can do it. It's just going to come down to who continues playing well or had a high level. And, you know, both teams win. And, man, when you win, you feel great. And you got a lot of momentum.
We said you didn't get a chance to watch Ames at all. I did watch that game at home, and the first quarter, Ames did not look real good. Lipsy did not look good at all, and of course, there's been some discussion about his injury and how much he's hurt. But boy, then he came on in the second quarter and beyond. He really looked like his old self then later on.
Not surprised. I mean, yeah. I think that's we were watching the score, of course, and I think it was tied 19-all, and then all of a sudden they're up 21. So, I mean, Ames turns it on when they're ready to go, and I think every team, no matter how veteran you are, that first quarter is always an adventure down there, just getting used to the arena and just the atmosphere and just the nerves, I think. So, you know, the second and third round, I think, will be very, very impressive basketball, I would say, overall.
Well, there should be some fun games to watch. Well, hey, Brant, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it.
It's great, Dan. Thank you very much for your work this year.
You bet. All right, this has been the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank my guests again that we had tonight. We had Bob Fontana sitting in the studio with us for a while. We also had Ankeny coach Brant Carlson coming in to discuss his team's loss to Johnston today. And we also had Ames coach Vance Downs over the phone. I appreciate the time from all of those gentlemen. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. We're actually going to be doing it on Monday of next week. It is spring break week, so a lot of the teams the athletes will be out of town on spring break. But many of the coaches will be around, and we're actually going to do a special podcast on Monday. We're going to be discussing the new Iowa law that bans transgender girls from competing in girls' sports. I do have a couple of guests lined up thus far, and I did put something out on Twitter earlier this week, you know, seeking any Ankeny or Centennial female athletes if they have, like, a strong opinion on the new law, one way or the other. I'd like to hear from you. You'd be welcome to join me on the podcast that night if you're in town. Otherwise, we do have a couple guests lined up, so we're going to be doing that on Monday. So come back next week for the next edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.